This message today is the next to last message in the series on spiritual warfare that we've been dealing with now for these last several weeks. And I was going through the messages that I've presented on this so far, and I don't know about you, but I was kind of shocked when I realized that these things go all the way back to the end of August. You know, we've been talking about this stuff for how many weeks? And so the next couple of messages, which will be the last ones, I want to talk to you about the way that the adversary attacks us, as we have been, but we're going to be talking about how he attacks us up here. And then the message that I bring on the 2nd of December is going to be talking about how we can gain victory over this. I would like to think that the best way to end a series on spiritual warfare is to talk about the victory that is ours in Jesus. Okay? But today we're going to talk about something from the book of Jude. So open your Bible to Jude and verses 3 through 7. I suppose we'd call it Jude chapter 1, 3 through 7, but since there's only one chapter in Jude, we'll just say verses 3 through 7. How many of you know who Jude was? Jude was Jesus' half-brother. Okay? Same mom, different dad. Get it? Okay? And he was also the full brother of James, another one of the Lord's half-brothers. Some years ago, I don't know if you heard about this in the news, but they discovered a stone box called an ossuary. And back in those days, they would take the bones of people and they would remove them from the tombs and they would keep them in these stone boxes called ossuaries. And they actually found one that said James, the brother of Jesus. So, you know, we have more and more history being proven over the course of time. But as Jude wrote this letter, his original intention was to write to the other Christians about the common salvation that they shared in Jesus. But as he was sitting down to write it, the Lord got a hold of him and changed his mind. And instead of writing to them about the salvation that they shared, he wrote about something very, very different. While he was going to write about the salvation that was shared in Jesus, his letter ended up being a call to battle, a call to contend for the faith that was given to them because of Jesus. And it was a battle for the truth. One of the best books I've read about this was written by a guy named John MacArthur. I don't know how many of you have taken time to read John MacArthur, but he wrote a book some time ago called The Truth War. And in this book, he talks about the fact that one of Satan's chief strategies in this thing that we call spiritual warfare is to undermine the truth and replace it with error that is believed to be truth. We like to use the term these days, fake news. Okay, you guys know the term fake news, right? If you haven't heard the term fake news, chances are you've been hiding for the last several months, not watching TV or going online. We like this idea. And I want you to know that Satan loves fake news because he loves to deal in things that are not the truth. He loves to deal in lies. He loves to attack the truth and replace it with confusion. One of his favorite ways of doing this is by using people who claim to love God, who claim to love and believe the truth, but while they say that they believe the truth, what they do is, in fact, assault the truth with untruth. Okay? So, defending the truth against those who attack from the outside is difficult. Okay? I spend a lot of my time dealing with that very thing. People come to me and say, Pastor Jay, what do you think of this teacher? What do you think of that teacher? What do you think of this? And a lot of my time is spent helping people understand what the truth is and what isn't the truth. Part of the job of being a shepherd is to protect the flock. Get it? But it's even harder to protect from truth or from error that comes from inside the body. I mean, protecting from the stuff that comes from outside is one thing. Protecting the body from the error that comes from inside is something really different. And it can be really difficult. It's harder yet. defending the truth from those who claim to be teachers of God's truth takes great discernment, and it takes courage, and it takes endurance. Notice I said it takes discernment. We need to be able to understand what the truth is and what is not truth. We need to be able to discern which is the truth and which is the error. And the thing that makes it even more difficult is modern-day Christians. Okay, modern-day Christians are more interested in things that make us feel good and less interested in proper doctrine. If I was to say to you that for the next several weeks we're going to talk about church doctrine, how many of you get so excited that you would clear your schedule and make sure you never miss another service until that series is over? Okay. One of those church doctrines is thou shalt not lie to the pastor, okay? But if I was to say we're going to talk about stuff that will make us feel good, we're going to talk about stuff over the course of the next few weeks that is guaranteed to make you feel blessed and good, chances are you would make sure you didn't miss those. Why? Because in our modern culture, what we feel is more important than what's the truth. We become lax at guarding the truth because modern Christians are willing to trade truth for feeling. Okay, so the most dangerous part of the battle goes on inside the churches, where there are people who claim to be teachers of the truth but are in actuality apostates. Okay? If I use the term apostate, how many of you know what that is? Okay, how many of you think it's a gland that middle-aged men have trouble with? No. That's not it either. An apostate is somebody that turns from the truth and teaches error, or somebody who walks away from Jesus altogether. Okay? And there are people that you are going to find on your television, on some very popular TV broadcasting networks, like TBN, like CBN, like Daystar. Okay? And these people are claiming to be Christians, and they're claiming to bring you the truth, but they are in actuality apostates who do not bring you the truth. Listen carefully for the next few minutes, because this is truly important. Those people on television and around you, okay, that claim to be telling you the truth, but are instead apostates, are without the Holy Spirit, and they are lost. You hear what I just said? That's strong speech, isn't it? Does it sound judgmental? That's probably because it is. But the Bible says, doesn't say don't ever judge. It says make sure that when you judge, you use the proper measuring stick, which is what?
This right here.
Use this. And if people are teaching you stuff and saying that it's in agreement with this, but it is not, you're in trouble. One of the things you've heard me say over and over again over the 7+ years I've been here is, don't take everything I say with an absolute suggestible mind. Instead, whatever I teach, you take and examine it against what you know in the Bible. What I teach has to be examined. So don't just take it for nothing. Okay? So, what is an apostate? Well, the Greek word that's used here in Jude 3-7, as we're going to read it in just a minute, comes from the Greek word pereisgeno. And the only time you're ever going to find it used is in the New Testament, and you're going to see how this works. Okay, does everybody have the book of Jude? Okay, starting at verse 3. Jude says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation that we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped among you, and they are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on that great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. How important is it for us to understand truth from error? Folks, in that understanding is the difference between heaven and hell. How much more important can it get than that? Yes, there's truly a life and death situation. So what is an apostate? Well, according to what we read here, we find that there are certain people who snuck in, as it says, verse 4, for certain individuals whose condemnation is written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. And the word that's used there to describe them is that Greek word pereis duno, and it actually means to settle in alongside of something without being noticed. Okay? To settle in alongside of something without being noticed. How many of you have ever gone camping? On the ground. In a sleeping bag. And you know that rattlesnakes on cold nights like to slip into people's sleeping bags to stay warm. That's true, they do this. Okay? And what they'll do is they'll slip into your sleeping bag unnoticed. And you will not know it until morning when you open your eyes and think, oh, is that my cat? Nice and warm down there by my feet. And you say, wait a minute, I'm at a campsite and my cat is not here. And you realize that it's a rattlesnake. And what does a rattlesnake do? Without even knowing that it's there, this thing can bite you. And this is what a pereis duno is. They can slip in unnoticed. 2 Peter chapter 2 says that false prophets arose among the people also, as also there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. These people who claim to be telling you the truth are rattlesnakes in your sleeping bag that slip in unnoticed. And there's lots of false teachers outside the church who make no secret about the fact that they hate Christianity. But what's more dangerous are those people who tell you that they are Christians and that they will follow destructive philosophies that's okay for you to follow as well. There are counterfeits that sneak in, and perhaps they go unnoticed. They kind of like slip in through the side door, and they settle in alongside the true teachings of the Word, and they go unnoticed for a time. I want you to know that the vast majority of the people that you see preaching on TBN are these individuals. And you've got to be very, very careful who you believe. They get into the fabric of the Christian airwaves, and they get into the fabric of the churches. They get into the fabric of these Sunday school teachers and the radio. Some years ago, I was visiting a seminary down in Wilmore, Kentucky. I went to the bookstore because I happen to like books a little. And there were books written by this individual, and I can tell you, they were very New Age, very witchcrafty and such. And I gathered these books off the shelves, and I went up to the counter, and she said to me, would you like to purchase these? I said, no, I want you to throw these out. Why? I said, look at this individual, a fellow by the name of Teilhard de Chardin. who taught that it's important for Christians to undergo a Luciferic baptism and accept the fact that Satan can teach us good things and should not be feared. And I said, let me show you what this guy teaches. And the girl says, well, I didn't buy them. I just stock the shelves with them. They tell me to put them out. And I said, well, you tell the people who are buying the books that these are destructive things and they need to be careful about what they're trying to teach our preachers. You see, it even sneaks its way into the pulpit if we're not careful. Who are these certain individuals? These certain persons, as it says. This is a rather vague description of apostates. Okay? We don't know specifically who they were back when Jude wrote this. We don't know specifically what they taught. But Jude referred to them as certain people or certain persons who just slid in without any kind of fanfare. They just kind of slipped in unnoticed. And haters, folks, you think they're around today. What if I was to suggest to you that there were haters around back then? People looking to destroy the church. Jesus prophesied back in Matthew 7:15. He said that there would be wolves who would enter in. Okay? How many of you are familiar with the term wolves in sheep's clothing? That comes from Matthew 7:15. Okay? There will be these wolves who will enter into the flock and devastate the flock by devouring the sheep, and you won't even know they're there because what? They look just like what? Sheep. But I'll tell you something, folks. If a wolf has sheep's clothing, it is still no less of a wolf. And when you pull back the fur and you see the rib cage and you pull back the mask and you see those sharp teeth, you know for sure that you're not dealing with a sheep. So it's up to us to understand what they are. These people would be like wolves in sheep's clothing. They would love to be able to get at the sheep, though they are wolves. False teachers sneak in. And I want you to know something, folks. There will never be a field that is sown with the truth that isn't oversown with error by the adversary. Understand that. There will always be false teachers. And part of the reason for that is that their false teachings will seem very compelling and they'll tickle the ears and they'll make people say, oh, that sounds good to me. The Bible says actually in the last days, the people will rather get their ears tickled than hear sound doctrine. So how important is it that we understand sound doctrine? What will happen to these false teachers? Will they go unpunished? Well, that's not what it says in verse 4. It says that they will be punished. Certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago. See, God knew they were coming. Jesus even said it. Jesus warned about the fact that there would be false teachers. Somebody asked me one time, when do you think the Antichrist is going to come? Well, he came thousands of years ago. The spirit of the Antichrist has been around forever. But what about the person? Well, that's another sermon for another day. What will happen to these false teachers? Well, from what we just read, God knows who they are, and their destiny is destruction. God already predetermined their end a long time ago, long beforehand. The apostates were even here. God knew they were coming, and he determined their end. 2 Peter 2:3. If you want to flip over there real quick. 2 Peter 2:3. Should you get it? Say, I got it. As long as I hear pages flipping around, I'm not going to get started. 2 Peter 2:3. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. That's lies. Okay? They'll exploit you with false words. And their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God didn't spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and if God didn't spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by destruction, or to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of those who would live ungodly thereafter, etc., etc., etc. What's he saying here? If God did not turn his wrath away in days past, he will not turn his wrath away in days future. That should scare every false teacher to death. That should scare their pants off. It should scare them. But there's a problem. As we're going to hear in a couple of minutes, how can we determine who a false teacher is? You'll see in just a minute. But if God did all this stuff, starting in Noah's day, and destroying the world by flood, and if he did this thing to Sodom and Gomorrah as he did, you can be sure he's going to keep his pledge about the apostates throughout all of history. Their judgment long ago was not idle, and their destruction was not sleeping then, and their destruction in the future will not be idle, nor will it be sleeping then. God is going to deal with the false teachers. Now, I'm hoping you're not going to think I'm going to sit here and name a bunch of names. I could go for the rest of the day and through the lunch, the afternoon, listing the names of people that are false teachers, but Christians like you and me, church-going people, love to listen to them. One of my favorites is a guy named T.D. Jakes. You ever hear of T.D. Jakes? People love T.D. Jakes. He's a filling preacher. But did you know he's a Unitarian? Yeah, he's a Unitarian, which means that he believes that God is God, but the Holy Spirit isn't God and Jesus isn't God. They are just manifestations. They're not really God. And as long as somebody tells me that Jesus is not God, I'm not going to listen to them. How many of you read my newsletter article on how do you know what a cult is? Okay, one of the earmarks of a cult is they will tell you that they are in agreement with historic Christianity, but in the end they deny that Jesus is God. And T.D. Jakes denies that Jesus is God. But he's a great preacher. He's thrilling to listen to, isn't he? All those of you that have listened to him preaching said, man, that guy's a good preacher. Say amen. No, don't say amen. Say, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have listened to him. There are many, many others. You see, if God took care of all of the bad teachers, the false teachers, the apostates back then, if God destroyed those who were the sinners back then, destruction of sinners is still coming and you can count on it happening. Their judgment from long ago wasn't idle and it will not be then and it isn't now. Their judgment is waiting and perdition is their end. And if you hear me use the term perdition, that's a fancy term for hell. Okay? Hell is their end. So Judah's saying this: rise up and contend earnestly for the faith that has been given to you from all time. Jesus came and gave himself as a propitiation for sinners, and this is the gospel that has been delivered to you, and you must contend for it. In other words, you've got to fight for it. Okay? And he's saying that there are apostates who are present inside the church and they call themselves Christians. But there are things we need to look for. How can we tell who they are? Okay? So I want you to pay real careful attention here because there's a couple of identifying marks of these false teachers that we need to know. Number one is this: they do not fear God. They claim they belong to God. They claim that they represent God. They claim that they speak for God. But in reality, they do not fear Him and they do not know Him. And because of that, they are ungodly. This is undoubtedly a dominant characteristic of a false teacher. they do not know God. They say they do, but they do not. Okay? Does that sound judgmental? Well, excuse me. That's just the way it is. It's the truth. That means, folks, that while they're on TV leading you in worship, they themselves, in their hearts, are not worshiping because they don't know God. Okay? They're without a connection to God. That means they have no reverence for God. They have no fear of God. They have no reverence for Him. And if you have no fear of God and no reverence for Him, you don't know Him. So get the picture here, folks. And remember this picture. The next time you turn on TBN or CBN or Daystar, whatever your favorite Christian network is, and you see these hyper-charismatic, positive confession, word of faith heretics looking at you and telling you the stuff that they tell you, and realize that even though they seem to be on fire for the Lord, they truly and really are ungodly people, and their fate is in the hands of an angry God. The Bible tells us that the last day those who are teachers and preachers are going to undergo a stricter judgment. And I hate to think the type of judgment that these individuals are going to have. It's going to be, when I use the term awesome, I don't mean awesome as in like, wow, that's awesome. I mean like awesome as in awful, dreadful, and terrible. But I'm just talking about the charismatics that we see, the hyper-charismatics on TV. I'm also talking about another group, and they are the liberals who deny the truth of the gospel while they speak of God and speak of the things of Jesus, and they speak of love, and they speak of the Bible, but they're just as ungodly as they possibly can be, and they teach ungodly things. These people are also without God. They're without reverence, and they're without fear of God. There's a whole class of people, even within this denomination, that want to get us to the point where we are going to marry homosexuals, believing that it's our job because that is the next civil rights issue. Just as we fought for equal rights for the African Americans, just as we fought for freedom for the slaves, we need to be fighting for freedom for the homosexuals, is what they're trying to tell us. And all they have done is bought into the homosexual agenda that was started way back in the 60s, and I can show you how this works and map it out for you. And they have fallen for it, and now they will tell you that we must also buy into this. And folks, it is nothing more than leftist nonsense. And it has slipped into the church unnoticed, and people are thinking, oh, that must be correct. If the preacher said we got to do it, then guess what? We got to do it. Preacher said so. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever hear me telling you that, then you should waste no time and dragging me out of here by my heels. And these individuals, identifying mark number one, is they do not fear God because they don't know God. Number two, as you can see, ungodly conduct in them. Okay? Very simply, they lead Galatians 5:19 lives. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read Galatians 5:19 through 23. It's the fruit of the life that is without the Spirit, and then follow that with the fruit of the life in the Spirit. You know the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:19 through 23. They will not live under the sovereign lordship of Christ. In their secret life, they are their kings, and Jesus is not. And to make things worse, they twist and pervert teachings about Jesus for their own selfish purposes. And they twist and pervert teachings about the gospel. Look for those two things. Okay? And in conclusion, I want to give us a quick call to discernment. I know we've got luncheon downstairs. You're all invited. Please come. I'm not going to preach over. And all God's people say, thank you, Jesus. There is a God. Number one, in the call for discernment, we must examine the message. If you're going to listen to a preacher, you must examine what they are teaching you. You must examine the message. Can I say it any more vehemently without you thinking I'm weird? You must examine the message. If you hear any teacher or preacher of the Bible, and what they are teaching you is not in agreement with Scripture, throw it out. Don't accept it. Look for those of a pure understanding of who Jesus is and a biblical understanding of the gospel. And if somebody teaches you something that is not in agreement with the gospel, don't listen. Paul even said it in Galatians, if you should be delivered a different gospel, even if it comes by an angel, don't believe it. Stick to the gospel that you have heard taught here. Folks, there's a whole denomination of people that say they're Christians but aren't, that fell for this. They're called the Mormons. And they were delivered a different gospel, supposedly by an angel named Moroni, who told Joseph Smith that all the religions of the world and all the preachers up to this point were corrupt, and that Joseph Smith needed to found a new religion. And he did, and they've got millions of followers. Yeah. Do they teach the truth? Do they keep to the simple truths of the Bible, or do they take words that you're familiar with and kind of twist them around to try to suit their own ends? Do they take the Scripture and bend it and twist it and adulterate it until it barely resembles the truth that you've learned from the pulpits of this church? If they do, have nothing to do with it. Remember what I said earlier. Their message may sound like the truth. It may sound like genuine sheep speak, but it's the language of wolves. Number one, examine the message. Can you guess what number two is? Quickly, somebody say it. Examine the messenger. Number one, examine the message. Number two, examine the messenger. Am I saying that if they're not perfect, you need to do away with them? Well, folks, if you're going to try to find yourself an absolute perfect preacher, teacher, whatever, you're going to be looking long and hard. And I thank God you settled for what you did. Kidding. Does the preacher lead a life of humble, broken submission and humility before the Lordship of Jesus? Or do they set themselves up as being more than they are? Look for teachers who characterize their lives with obedience to Christ, or at least striving for obedience. And they humble themselves and they worship the Lord and they fear Him above all things. Will these preachers and teachers be perfect in all of their ways? The answer has to be no. There's only been one who ever was. And look what we did to him. Be true to the Scripture. Know your Bible. Be faithful to it. Know the truth. And if the messenger is faithful to that truth, then you can hear them. But if they're not, then you can't. Live the truth yourself. Be a faithful witness to the truth of God's Word. Live the truth and proclaim the truth. And find yourselves teachers who will do the same. Amen? Everybody okay so far? Good, because that's the end. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, help us to be men and women that don't just come and want to hear the truth. Help us to be men and women that live the truth and likewise proclaim it. Father, the world is full of error. The world is full of wolves who go about in sheep's clothing, claiming to be sheep, but in reality, Father, they are apostates who slip in unnoticed. Father, my prayer is that because of teachings like this, that we will be men and women of the Word who are very careful to take the teachings that we hear, not just in here, but Lord, on television, everywhere else, and put them through the sifter of God's Word. Father, make us men and women of the truth. Father, give us teachers and preachers that are men and women of the truth. And then, Father, as you are, our helpers, we the church will form an army that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against. As in Jesus' name we pray.